I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
The following is a paid political announcement.
I'm President Obama, and I killed Osama bin Laden. I killed him, and I killed him dead. He's no longer alive, and the person who killed him is me. He's no longer breathing, and his vital signs are zero. If you asked him a question, he wouldn't answer. Not because he's standoffish or because he doesn't know the answer, but because he's dead. Stone dead. Bone dead. Why is he dead? Because of me. And the reason why he's dead is myself. I personally gave the order to kill, and the fact that he was killed is because I gave the order to kill, which killed him dead. Other people pulled the trigger, but I killed him. I killed him because I killed him, and because I killed him, he's dead. When I say dead, I don't mean figuratively dead. I mean literally, actually, undeniably, and reliably dead. Dead, 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 dead. How dead? Dead, dead. Deader than a doorknob. Deader than a dead mouse. Deader than a dead death. Dead. And that's the difference in vision between me and my opponent. I pictured Osama bin Laden dead, and he didn't. And he doesn't believe folks should be able to climb the ladder. Well, Osama bin Laden can't climb a ladder. Ask Osama bin Laden if he's better off now than he was 4 years ago. You can't, because he's dead. Not just dead in the water, although he is dead in the water, the ocean in fact, but more dead than anyone who's ever been dead. He is the deadest person of all time, and I deaded him. So, to reiterate three main points, dead, I killed him, and I admit things could be better in the economy and so forth, but let's not forget, I killed somebody.
The following is paid for by the committee to re-elect the candidate who killed Osama bin Laden.
I'm Barack Obama, and I killed Osama bin Laden.
The Final Edition now takes you to Republican headquarters.
Okay, gentlemen, you all got the secret directive in the 1990s saying never to make a sincere, unqualified apology, no matter how obvious or egregious the offense. But the RNC thinks everyone needs a refresher. So let's review the basics first of all. All right, let's say you're caught on tape saying half the country is lazy and useless. What's your excuse?
I expressed myself inelegantly.
Nice. Now, suppose your tax cuts and deregulation led to economic collapse. What do you do?
Blame it on the next president.
Obviously, but what else?
Claim we can only fix it with more deregulations and tax cuts?
Stupid, but correct. Now, we're going to do a little role play. Who wants to pretend to be Vice President Dick Cheney?
Me.
Oh, I do. I do.
All right, Glenn, you'll do the honors.
I was born for this part.
And I need one of you to be Harry Whittington, the guy Cheney shot in the face in a hunting accident.
I'm going to do that.
Mark, you're Harry.
Awesome.
All right, Glenn, take this toy gun, point it at Mark, pull the trigger like you're accidentally shooting him.
Got it. Oh, my God. That was a real gun. Mark is dead.
Okay, part two of the role play.
But he's really dead. Oh, my God. The blood.
I know. Focus. Part two. I have Mark's family right outside. Now, Glenn, it's your job to convince them that this is their fault.
Their fault? It's your fault.
How's it my fault? I was standing way over here.
But the gun... going to be sick.
Calm down and think. If this isn't your fault, and it certainly isn't mine, then it's because his lazy, welfare queen family expects the government to take care of them.
They do?
Well, they do now. Mark can't support them.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm letting them in. Get your shit together. Don't blow this. Mrs. Amberson? Kids? You want to come in for a second? I'm afraid there's a problem.
Mark? Mark! No! What happened in here?
Daddy!
Glenn, you want to explain this to Mark's widow and orphans?
Laura, we were, it wasn't supposed to, you know...
Come on, Glenn, get some talking points.
Look, Laura, the people in this room are job creators.
That's right.
When I look at you... I see yet another single mother claiming she's a victim.
We are victims. My husband was just shot to death.
and he's been dead for almost a minute. And you've done nothing about it. You haven't even called the police.
I'm calling them now.
Not we took your phone fault. Away.
Haven't
Not
even called the police.
Fault. Not our fault. Not our
You've
fault.
You've been the head of your Not household for 45 Not seconds, and he's still
Not
dead. Where's the leadership?
Not it's almost like you
fault.
Wanted him to die.
Not
Why did you kill him,
fault.
Laura? Why did you do it?
You'll fry for
Not
this.
But Glenn is the one holding the gun!
When are you Not going to stop blaming fault. The guy who actually Not shot him? When are you going Not to accept personal fault. Responsibility Not for what you've fault. Done?
I can't! I'm Republican!
Not our fault!
Damn it.
We're all Republicans. This can't be anyone's fault.
Then it's just... something that couldn't be stopped.
No one could have predicted this kind of attack.
And we're the only ones qualified to protect the world from it.
That's right, Laura. Democrats would be soft on this kind of thing.
We're all heroes. We've got to cut up the body.
Liberty. Together we will be forever proud and free.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh! Romney asks white Americans to imagine Obama having sex with their sisters.
Once thought extinct... Last white NFL running back discovered in Seattle.
High school teacher honored for having sex with high school teacher.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. Visit thefinaledition.com every day for more sizzling satire with teeth.
For the 10th straight year since its founding, Pakistan's Umayyad Suicide College, USC, has been forced to cancel its annual homecoming celebration. Our Stone Peck has the story.
I'm standing here with USC's Dean Peter Bread on this beautiful campus, where all buildings are fitted with stealth walls and drone-proof roofs. Dean Bread, what is the reason USC has to constantly cancel its homecoming?
Simple. Lack of alumni. This year we were hoping to have Omar Sultana, class of 2012, back to receive his honorary doctorate in volatile physics. But he sneezed while being fitted for an exploding gown.
But it's not for lack of graduates.
Absolutely not. Over 500 students have graduated from Umayyad Suicide College since 2003.
What degrees does USC offer?
Degrees are offered in planes, trains, and automobiles. Tuition is free at USC by reason of a large endowment of vests, fuses, and fertilizer... donated by a class of 2003 alumnus known only as the Wedding Blaster.
Will the annual homecoming football game be canceled also?
No. The annual gridiron battle between USC and our arch-rival, Nitro Dame, will be held as usual. This includes a traditional halftime show featuring the world-famous USC one-legged hopping band and the stoning of the 72 Virgin cheerleading squad. After the game... football letter vests will be wired with C4 and awarded posthumously.
With this string of disappointing homecomings, are you planning anything for next year?
Yes, indeed. Because if Mitt Romney wins in November, many of our graduates now working in Iran will be unemployed and have time to come home. Nothing kills suicide bomber jobs faster than war.
It's time for the Final Edition Radio Hour's Literary Colloquy. Tonight, our good friends Abbott and Costello discuss current linguistic trends.
Hey, you're back!
Yeah, what do you want, Lou?
You said you was going to teach me to talk better, remember?
Right. You need to learn to communicate more effectively, pal. Then you can become a big success in life like me.
Oh, boy, that's for me. You really think I can turn my life around?
Believe me, this'll be a game changer.
A game changer?
That's right.
You mean I gotta give up bowling?
Don't be stupid. I'm not talking about bowling.
But you said I had to change my game. Bowling's the only game I play, unless you count strip poker, but that's...
They are being too literal-minded, Lou. Look, forget bowling. Remember, at the end of the day, it is what it is.
What is?
It.
It is what?
what it is.
But what is it?
Ah, right, never mind. Let's practice a popular expression that's being used by all the brightest people.
Okay, shoot.
Let's say two guys are buddies. Now, the first guy screws over his buddy. How do you express that in a vivid and interesting way?
I got it. I would say the first guy screwed over his buddy vividly and interestingly.
No, that's wrong. What you say is, the guy threw his buddy under the bus.
What bus?
Any bus.
You never said nothing about no bus. You just said one guy screwed over the other guy.
I know, but all the same, that's how you say it.
Would it be okay to throw him under a truck? Because maybe the bus was behind schedule.
No, it's gotta be a bus.
How about push him in front of a train?
No, it's a goddamn bus, and you throw him under it, not push him in front of it.
But why?
Because it is what it is.
Oh, no. Not that again.
All right, let's try another one. Let's say you know a really bad guy. A terrible guy who does awful stuff. I don't know. Maybe he rapes somebody's great-grandfather. But you don't turn him in.
I don't?
No.
Has he got photos of me with that crazy redhead? I'm telling you, she was 18 if she was a day.
Nah, you don't turn him in because... Now listen to this real close. You're in the tank for him.
I'm in a tank with him?
Not with him, for him.
What kind of tank?
How the hell should I know what kind of tank?
You're the one brought it up. You're the one said I'm in the tank. Is it an army tank? Or one of those big water tanks on stilts? Or maybe a gas tank? Anyway, how'd I get into it?
Oh, you're impossible. I'm telling you, if you don't pay attention better, you're gonna do an epic fail.
A what?
An epic fail.
I can't fail epic, because I never took it. I failed geometry, I failed history, and I failed gym. But epic, I don't even know what that is!
Well, you're failing it anyway. But listen, I'll tell you what. If you need to say something smart, just say YOLO.
Yo-yo?
No, YOLO.
What's YOLO?
You only live once.
All I gotta say is, you only live once, and people will think I'm smart?
That's right. All the coolest people are saying it.
Because they are what they are?
I suppose so.
And if I say YOLO, nobody will throw me under the bus?
At the end of the day, no. In fact, people will be gobsmacked.
Ah, that's gotta hurt.
No doubt, but say it anyway.
Okay, YOLO! YOLO! I think my game is changing, Abbott.
Yep, you're finally getting it, Lou.
Really? Now am I gonna finally be a big success?
Not so much.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Department of Education releases 12 new punctuation marks for emoticons.
Assassin hunting Innocence of Muslims director offers to throw in Michael Bay for free.
Live Michael J. Fox red carpet interview leads to earthquake scare.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Recently, Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney was caught on tape at a fundraiser suggesting that he'd have an easier time becoming president if his parents were Mexican. So, in order to improve his dismal polling numbers among Hispanic voters, the Romney campaign has undergone a complete makeover, positioning Romney as the Mexican candidate for president of the United States. Here is a clip of a recent campaign speech by Governor Romney.
I want to thank you all for having me. And I just want to say to all of you, hola, mi llamo Mitt Romney. I come here not as a presidential candidate, but as an amigo. As you may know, my father, Jorge Romney, was born in Mexico. Mi padre really instilled a love of Mexican culture in me from a young age, like tacos, con queso, and Speedy Gonzalez. Which is why I'm here today, to let you know that I support 100% of America, including you, mi compadres and vatos. I am on your side, and to suggest otherwise would just be muy estúpido. My opponents want to paint me as some sort of out-of-touch elitist, to which I would say, who you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? I mean, they are the ones who are loco. They say that I am anti-immigration, that I support policies of self-deportation. That's not true. I mean, that's as likely as getting Menudo back together. El Presidente Obama has done nothing to fix our broken immigration system. That's not very Rico Suave, if you ask me. El Presidente has also done nothing to fix our broken economy. And quite frankly, Americans are screaming, Ay Dios mío. With his economic plan, El Presidente Obama wants to create trillion-dollar deficits and take away the Coronas and Chipotles and the George Lopez's of hardworking hombres like ustedes. And it's time the gringos of this country stood up and said, no way, Jose. I want to put the good muchachos and mama kiddies of America back to work. I want us as a nation to be able to stand up and say, Dale, a tu cuerpo, alegría Macarena, que tu cuerpo es pa darle alegría y cosa buena. Dale, a tu cuerpo, alegría Macarena, hey, Macarena. Adios, muchas gracias, and buenos noches.
Fault! Not our fault! Not our fault!
Congressman and Republican vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan continues to pick holes in what he considers the outdated, costly, and inefficient safety net which keeps the nation's 47% fat and happy. The final edition's Strong Powers and Pepper Lewis were the first to break the news that he intends to replace Medicare with a faith-based system of miraculous cures called Mediprayer. Last week, they visited the congressman's pilot daycare project, the Ayn Rand Detention Center in downtown Milwaukee, which he'll launch nationwide when the Republican ticket wins in November and Mitt Romney dies at Thanksgiving of a mysterious brain ailment. This week, the congressman discusses his revolutionary approach to education K through 12. Over to Strong and Pepper, who are lunching with Ryan in the nation's capital.
Congressman, is there a common theme to the new Republican safety net?
I'd compare it to basketball. First developed for poor city kids as a low-cost alternative to sports like baseball and football, which require costly equipment and valuable real estate. We want to do that basketball thing for the poor in, for example, healthcare. Healthcare which doesn't require costly equipment and valuable real estate.
So you don't mean the Republican safety net will look like a basketball net, do you?
No, Pepper, I don't. What I mean is that in the 21st century, George W. Bush's wonderful phrase must be amended to low-cost, compassionate conservatism.
But education budgets have already been drastically cut. How do we get low-cost compassion into education?
Simple. We radically reduce the number of scholars. Ergo, more dollars per scholar.
Doesn't every American child have the right to an education?
When I last looked, the Bill of Rights doesn't include education. Education is a privilege of those who can be educated.
And how do you decide who can be educated?
My administration, our administration, would implement a sweeping new education policy called the Slow Child Left Behind Act. We low-cost, compassionate conservatives believe it's far kinder for underachieving children to be shunted to a slow track. That way, they don't deprive faster kids of scarce education funds.
You define that as compassionate?
Absolutely. They don't feel bad about themselves for being a drag on their faster classmates.
Being officially defined as slow will make them feel good about themselves?
Heck, we won't call them slow, Pepper. You kidding? That wouldn't be compassionate.
But the policy is called the Slow Child Left Behind Program.
Do you honestly think that slow kids or their slow parents are interested in a complex matter like education policy? Even I, a bona fide intellectual, find it really boring. They won't even know we call them slow.
Paul, how will the Slow Child Left Behind program work in practice?
Scores will rise sharply without slow kids eating up teacher time and diluting averages. Plus, grade school and high school enrollment would plummet.
Meaning more of those scarce education dollars per scholar.
Strong, if you were a student, no one shunt you to the slow track.
Oh, well, gosh, thank you. That means a lot.
And what happens on the slow track?
Slow kids avoid wasted years in futile pursuit of literacy and numeracy. We rotate them out of the system as early as possible into special apprenticeships. Catering, building maintenance, garment manufacture, simple, viable skills. the work of human hands that made America great.
How do you pay for this slow track if all of the education dollars are going to the fast kids?
Here's the beauty part, guys. The Slow Child Left Behind program will be part of the military budget,
which is scheduled to grow substantially under a Republican administration. That is brilliant.
Far from being left behind, these kids will get a jump start on exciting military careers in the catering corps, the maintenance corps, tailoring corps,
the latrine corps.
Pepper, those who serve in the latrine corps are defending our freedom no less than Navy SEALs. Our fighting men and women need clean, well-lit toilets when their patriotic work is done.
So, in effect, you'll be drafting kids into the military in kindergarten and grade school?
No. We'll be setting them on track to a brighter future. You can become a 5-star general in the latrine corps.
You can?
Don't question me, Strong. Every word I utter is the result of rigorous research. And Pepper, it's not a draft. Slow kids will be free to drop out any time and begin exciting careers, mooching off the 53% for the rest of their lives.
That is a disgusting slur on disadvantaged kids.
Whoa, Pepper. That's out of line, babe.
Not to worry, Strong. As a bona fide intellectual, I see everything in the cold light of pure reason. Inflammatory and insulting language affects me about as much as Mr. Spock getting a big fat smooch. But let me assure you, Pepper, in the Ryan, that is Romney, administration, you'll eat those words with hot sauce.
Thanks, Paul. And well said. Pepper, honey, you gotta cool it with this incredibly biased questioning.
Don't honey me, you quizzling.
Quizzling? What's a quizzling?
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Last sane man in Arizona dies.
Conjoined twin masturbation session gets weird.
Prophet Muhammad admits he never saw this coming.
This episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Kevin Janis, Barry Lank, John Marshall, and Tony Hendra. It was written by Barry Lank, John Marshall, Lou Grossberger, Fisher King, Roy Koshy, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. Be sure to visit thefinaledition.com several times an hour for more sizzling satire with teeth. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of the Final Edition LLC. Copyright 2012.